Have you ever heard someone say something like this? I was praying the other day and God spoke to my heart. Or I heard God say to me, or the Lord has said, or I have a word from God, or the other day I had this impression on my heart and I know God was speaking to me. Have you ever heard someone talking about hearing the voice of God? Well, I suspect that you have. When you hear people talking that way, let me ask you, how do you feel? Do you connect with that? Do you say, you know, I know exactly what they're talking about. I know exactly what it means to hear the voice of God. Or do you somehow feel as though you have been left out of the loop? Everybody else seems to be hearing from God, but you don't hear from God yourself. You're left out of the loop. God seems to be talking, but you're not hearing, and you don't seem to connect the way other people do. Now, let me ask you, do you feel left out of the loop? Maybe I ought to ask another question first, though. Not so much do you feel out of the loop, but do you really want to be in the loop? Do you really want God to speak to you? If God had something to say, do you want to hear what He has to say? Do you really want to be in the loop with God? Well, I suspect there are a lot of you who really, if you thought about it, wouldn't want to be in the loop. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I want you to open them up to the Old Testament. And I want you to look in the book of Exodus, not Ecclesiastes. The book of Exodus. And I want you to look in Exodus chapter 20 in a moment, verse 1. Very familiar passage. And in a moment, we begin reading with verse 1. We're going to talk about hearing from God. In fact, this morning, we're going to begin a brand new, albeit extremely short, series of messages that we're going to entitle Hearing from God. And this morning, tonight, next Sunday morning, and next Sunday night, we're going to be dealing with this issue. Now, I need to say, if you're brand new to us, I want you to understand that this is somewhat outside of the norm of what we do. This is not standard operational procedure. If you're new to us, and if you'd come in any other time, you probably would have caught me either at the beginning or in the middle or at the end of a study of some book in the Bible. Well, that's what we normally do. For 6.5 years, I've been pastor of this church, and I've sought to do little else other than be a Bible teacher. My opinion is this: if you're not going to be people of the book, there really is very little reason to be at all. Sometimes people ask the question, what is the key, or what are the keys to a successful ministry, a good church? And I can honestly say I don't know what all the keys are, but I know this: one key to a strong ministry has to be the continual, faithful teaching and preaching of God's Word. From the podiums of the Sunday school classes to the pulpit in the sanctuary, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, teaching and preaching. And that's what we try to do. In fact, we try to teach book by book through the Bible. In fact, 1998, we spent most of that year looking at Old Testament books. We studied Ruth, and we studied Esther, and we studied Job, and we studied Ecclesiastes, and we studied Ecclesiastes, and we studied Ecclesiastes, on and on and on and on. And in 1999, we're going to concentrate on New Testament books. Not this morning, but most of 99. In fact, already on Wednesday nights, we have begun a study of the Revelation, an exciting new study. And I want you to know it's not too late to get in on it. But if you wait much longer, we'll be so far into the book, you'll be helplessly, hopelessly lost and not know what it's all about or understand it. But we're studying the Bible book by book. Now, I say that to you to remind you that not only are we people of the book, but we're people book by book through the book. Now, with that said, however, this morning, we're not doing that. All that talk for nothing. With that said, this morning we're going to move in another direction. Every once in a while, when we finish a book in the Bible, there are certain issues that the Lord lays on my heart, current issues in the life of God's people that I think we need to spend some time talking about. And one such issue I think that ought to be of concern to all of us is hearing God's voice. The reality is this: we live in a world, listen up, where there are a lot of voices, people on every hand telling us to do this or to do that. Which way do we go? And I don't mind telling you, it's exciting and it's scary at the same time. In the midst of all of these voices, we need to hear what God has to say. And how do you do that, though? How do you pick God's voice out of all the voices in the crowd? Well, in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that. Now, this morning, we want to deal with the fact that there are a lot of folks not hearing from God at all. They're completely outside the loop, and many don't even mind. Let me show you. Take your Bible, look in Exodus chapter 20. This is a very familiar passage. It contains the Ten Commandments, but there's far more to it than that. Let's read verse 1, get a running start. The Bible says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now I love that statement. What a powerful statement. Read it again. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What a powerful statement. Look in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within the gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant or female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now stop. Don't lose your place. What's going on? Well, you're familiar with this. These are the Ten Commandments. Moses has been up on Mount Sinai. God has spoken. God's given him a message. And in essence, God is saying, go speak to my people. Now, watch what happens next. Verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood afar off. I bet they did. Verse 19. And then they said to Moses, you speak with us. Now watch, here we go. You speak with us, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. And the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Now, one more time, look at verse 19. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear from you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now let me explain to you what's happening. A good paraphrase of this passage. Here are God's people, God speaking, and they know God's speaking, and they're saying, now Moses, you go listen to God. You hear from him, and we'll hear from you, but we don't want to hear God speak directly to us. In other words, we're out of the loop, and we don't mind being out of the loop. We don't want to hear God's voice. Now, I want you to know, this is remarkably up-to-date and modern. Most folks I know are somewhat like that. Most folks will say, Pastor, we hope you hear from God. In fact, we pray that all week long you will hear something from him. You listen to him, and if God by chance has anything worth sharing, you come tell us, and we'll listen to you. But we're not all that interested in hearing God for ourselves. After all, it's a lot easier to hear God secondhand. It's a lot easier to listen to your voice rather than God's voice, so we don't mind being out of the loop. And there are a lot of people just like that. Now the question is, why are we so out of the loop? That's what I want to deal with. Now before I get into it, let me make this confession. There are times when I'm just like that myself. There are times when I'm out of the loop and God is not speaking or I'm not hearing what God's saying. And there are times when it doesn't bother me very much. There are times when I get out of the loop and I can't hear from God. And quite frankly, I have a tendency to grow comfortable out of the loop. Do you do the same thing? And I get to the point where I say, well, you know, it doesn't bother me that I'm not hearing much from God. I'm comfortable in this. Let me tell you, the consequences of that are horrible. And we'll talk a little more about that later on. Now, very quickly, let me give you some reasons why we stay out of the loop and why we're not hearing from God. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to prepare your heart to hear from God. Next week, we'll talk about how to know it's God's voice that's speaking to you. Next Sunday night, we'll talk about why God refuses to speak on some occasions. But this morning, let's just deal with why sometimes we don't hear God. Let me give you two very simple reasons. Reason number one that some people are out of the loop is this. It is because they are not certain God really speaks. Therefore, they do not try to hear what God's saying. Let me repeat that. The reason some people are out of the loop is because they are not certain God really speaks. Therefore, they don't even try to hear what God is saying. The reality is there are a whole lot of folks, and I suspect sitting even in this congregation, there are some who would say, I don't really think God personally, individually speaks to a person's heart. We live in a world, a secular society, that if you were to tell them that you heard from God, that God spoke to you, they would think that you are some sort of religious fanatic at best or a religious psychotic at worst. And they said, what do you mean God spoke to you? And by the way, the problem is, in the religious world, it isn't much better. From every quarter of the religious world, the Christian world, there are different ideas about the voice of God. Roman Catholics say God speaks like this. Pentecostals say, no, God speaks like that. Reformation people says God speaks in this way. Baptists say, no, God speaks in another way. Dispensationalists say God doesn't speak at all. They say God just sort of has given us His Word, and we can study the Word, figure it out for ourselves, and He doesn't really speak to us at all. And then to make matters even worse, to add to the confusion of whether or not God actually speaks, are all the people in the world who want to tell you they're hearing from God, and you know they're not. Now, it's one thing for religious leaders to say that God doesn't speak. That's confusing enough. But then you encounter these people who tell you they've got a word from God, and you know they have not heard from God at all. You need to know there are a lot of voices in the world. Not all voices that are heard are God's voice. There's the voice of sin, the voice of self, the voice of Satan, the voice of society. And not everyone who says they've heard from God has heard from God. In fact, I don't know that you can be in my kind of work. I told the early service, I'm not sure what you call it. You can't be in religious work without encountering these people who want to tell you that they've heard from God. I've had people pronounce visions over me, prophecies over me. Give me a word of wisdom. Give me a word of knowledge. Say God showed them something in a dream about my ministry. And 99% of the time, they were completely off base. One pastor gave a great testimony about this. He said when he was a young man, he and his fiancée were attending church just before they got married. He said he was sitting there in this church, and an elderly lady came up, sat down next to his fiancée, her name was Julia, whispered to her loud enough for him to hear, "Young woman, God has given me a word for you." She said, "God has told me to tell you that you will be married and widowed in 7 years. And you will become like the prophetess Anna in Luke chapter 2. For the rest of your life, you will sweetly serve the Lord." And here's this pastor sitting there listening to the woman give this, quote, word of God to his fiance. He looked at her and said, that woman hasn't been listening to God. God didn't tell her that. He tried to dismiss us, but then later on he gave the testimony. He said, "For the next 7 years, I was nervous." He said, "We got married, and for the next 7 years, I kept thinking, is it possible that this woman was right?" He said, "I was so nervous, in fact, that on the evening of our 8th anniversary, I stayed up past midnight just to make sure I didn't wake up dead the next morning." He said, "I even stayed up in the bathroom." He said, "If I was going to die, I didn't want to mess up the carpet in the living room, so I went in the bathroom." We've all had people like that. Listen, I've had people come to me and say God told them something, and some of them, frankly, are just wacko. And if you're one of them. Well, sometimes that's the case. Everything from the guy who told me, the psychotic who told me he had been to hell and back, and God had told him while in hell that he was to come to our church and preach on Wednesday nights. I don't think so. Everything from that to a deacon who told me one time that God had told him to divorce his wife and marry his mistress. I asked him, "Did God tell you to have a mistress to begin with?" I had a woman tell me on one occasion that God had spoken to her and told her to abandon her husband and children and go to a foreign country and become a missionary. Back in 1988, when this book had come out, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming in 1988, A lady came to my office and she said, I was praying about it and God spoke to my heart and God confirmed that on that day Jesus is going to come again. I have a word from God. She did not. Now, when you couple the fact that there are a lot of folks who say you can't hear from God anyway with a truth that a whole lot of folks out here saying they're hearing and they're not, sometimes it causes you to throw your hands up in the air and say, well, maybe God isn't really speaking. And by the way, I have to tell you this, in all the years of seminary that I have attended, no one ever taught me anything to help me with this. I have 2 degrees from 2 different seminaries and a whole lot of classes under my belt. I cannot recall even one occasion when anybody taught me anything about hearing the voice of God. Whether or not I actually could, and if I could, how I could. You say, Pastor, you mean they don't teach you that stuff in seminary? No, they don't. And for those of you who are thinking about going to seminary because you think it's going to be a wonderfully uplifting spiritual experience, I want to remind you, seminary is not Camp Cherokee. It's a graduate institution, much like a law school, much like a medical school. It is highly academic. I thank God right now in some of our Southern Baptist seminaries, they are turning the corner and they're concerned about the spiritual growth of our students. And I think that's good. Wasn't that way when I was coming along? But the truth is, no one ever taught me anything about this. And I talk to people all the time and they say, you know, I think God spoke to me, but I'm not really sure. What's it like? I recall the first time that I really think God spoke to me that I can remember. Now, I suspect the first time, of course, is when I accepted Christ as Lord. But I can remember shortly after that, about a year after that, I was 19 years old and I was asked to preach a youth revival in Shelby, North Carolina. I was not a preacher, not a pastor, only a Christian for a year. Scared to death. Huge church, at least 75 people every Sunday morning. I was scared to death. And I remember before I preached, I was staying with his family, a little mobile home, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, oh God, what am I going to say? And then late in that evening, that Saturday evening, it was as though God just put a word on my heart and I knew exactly what I was going to say. And I found myself thinking, is that God? Did God really tell me that? All right, now look up here. Let's make something clear. So let me make sure there's no confusion on your part. I really believe in a God who speaks to his people. I really do. I don't believe that all God has done is give us his word that we can read and figure out and know what to do. Though I want you to know, he never tells you anything in any other way that ever contradicts his word. God speaks to us in several ways. He speaks generally through circumstance and creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. He speaks specifically through the Scripture, the Word. You want to know specifically about God? Read the Bible. But there are occasions when God speaks personally in your spirit. The Bible says God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. One pastor I know said that you and I have what he called a knower. Did you know you had a knower? You know what a knower is? A knower is that deep-seated inner ability to commune with God. It is, let me tell you what the knower is. The knower is actually your human spirit that communes with God's Holy Spirit. And there's a knower in you and there's a knower in me. The moment I became a Christian, my knower came to life so that God can speak to me. Well, let me just carry you down the road a little bit theologically. Are you listening? Do you know that the moment you're born in this world, the Bible says you're already dead in trespasses and sin? How can you be dead in trespasses and sin? Your body isn't dead, it's very much alive. Your mind isn't dead, it's very much alive. But the moment you're born, your spirit, the part that connects with Almighty God, is dead. It's been dead since the day of Adam. Go back and read it. And the Scripture says a remarkable thing happens, though. When a man or a woman believes in Christ, asks Christ to be Lord of their life, the Scripture says the Holy Spirit comes in and quickens them to life. What does that mean? Quicken what to life? Not your body, it's alive. Not your mind, it's alive. He quickens your spirit. And then the Bible says because he's quickened your spirit, his spirit now bears witness with your spirit. God speaks to you. Go back through the Bible. God spoke to Abraham and God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. God spoke to Abraham at Ur of Chaldees. God spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, and God spoke to Peter in a vision. He spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. He spoke to Gideon by the fleece. And I believe in a God who does speak. And frankly, if you don't, that explains why you've been left out of the loop. If you don't think he speaks, you won't try to hear. Now let me give you one other very simple thing and then we'll be through. Now some people are left out of the loop because they are not certain that God really speaks. And so they don't try to hear what God says. But other people are left out of the loop. Now listen. Because they are certain God speaks. But they don't want to hear what God is saying. If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, that's the story. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, the people of God knew God was speaking, but they said, hey, we don't want him to speak to us. We don't want to hear it. You know what we're like sometimes? We're like a child who doesn't want to hear a parent. Have your children ever done this? It used to irritate me so much. My kids are all up now and they don't do it much. But you're talking to them, they go, and they don't want to hear what you have to say because they ain't going to like it. We're that way with God sometimes. We know God speaks, but we don't want to hear because we're afraid we might not like it. Let me give you the implication. Listen. The implication is this. If there's a God who speaks and he does speak to you, it has to mean there is something for you. It has to mean God has a plan. If God speaks to you at all, it has to mean that there's a direction he wants you to go. And what it implies is this: you cannot hear from God and remain the same. Now, let me tell you the problem. Are you listening? The reason we don't want to hear from God is because we fear God will ask us to do something outside of our comfort zone. Let me ask you this question. Is that a legitimate concern? Do you think God will ask you to do something outside your comfort zone? Absolutely. In fact, I doubt seriously that God ever asks you to do anything that isn't outside your comfort zone. By definition, the life of faith is the life lived outside the comfort zone. I heard recently about a certain professor who was teaching a class in spiritual development. And he asked his class, primarily pastors, men, and he said, how many of you here want to hear God speak? Every hand went up. And then he began to share some stories from the Bible. He said, you know, on one occasion, God spoke to a man named Gideon who was facing the largest army of his time. And God said to Gideon, Gideon, send almost all your army home. He said on another occasion, God spoke to a man named Abraham, and he told Abraham to leave his home and go to a place called Ur of Chaldees. He said on another occasion, God spoke to a man named Noah, and he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And Noah said, a what? An ark. What's an ark? A boat. What's a boat? Something that floats. What's float? It never rained. There'd never been a flood. Noah didn't know. And God said, go out and build this big boat. On another occasion, God spoke to a man named Hosea. He said, Hosea, do you want to be my prophet? Hosea said, yes, Lord, I'll be your prophet. He said, all right, then I want you to go marry a prostitute. What? Marry a prostitute. Well, Lord, I'm a preacher. I can't marry a prostitute. She'd ruin my ministry. I won't get invited to the evangelism conference. God said, go marry a prostitute. On yet another occasion, he spoke to a man named Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I want you to preach to the nation. He gave him a message, and he preached the message to the nation. The result of it was people hated Jeremiah. Beat him, laughed at him, ridiculed him, mocked him, threw him down a well, beat him almost to death. And he preached the message all of his life, and not one person believed. And then the professor looked at his class. He said, and yet on another occasion, God spoke to a man named Isaiah. And he said, Isaiah, yes, Lord, take off your clothes. What? Take off all of your clothes. Why? And God said, don't ask questions, just take off your clothes. Isaiah took off his clothes and he said, "How long, O Lord?" And God said, "Until I tell you to put them back on." Can you imagine what it was like? Isaiah walking up and down the streets, the great prophet of Israel, and the people saying, "Hey, Isaiah, you forgot something. Isaiah, where are your clothes, man?" "Well, I took them off." "Why'd you take them off?" "Well, I heard this voice inside." And for 3 years, Isaiah walked the streets naked. And after 3 years, God spoke to Isaiah and said, "Isaiah, put your clothes back on." He put his clothes back on. And then Isaiah was told by God, "Isaiah, now go proclaim this message to the people. As I did bear your buttocks, I will bear the buttocks of Egypt and spank it." That's a great story. You want to preach on that sometime? And then after all of those stories, those scenarios, then the professor looked back at the class and said, "Now let me ask you again. How many of you really want to hear God speak?" Not one hand was raised. Well, I don't blame them, do you? Is it possible that if God speaks to you, he'll ask you to do something outside your comfort zone? It is probable. And I doubt that he'll ask you to strip naked and walk around Cleveland. If he does, you come see me. That's a wrong idea. You call me on the phone long distance, and I'll pray and see if God confirms it to my heart. And I doubt he'll tell you to go marry a prostitute, and I doubt that he's going to tell you to build a boat in the square down here. But he might tell you to pack your bags and go to seminary. He might tell you to quit that job that's been eating you alive, and he's been trying to get you out of it for so long. He might tell you to give up that relationship that you know you ought not to be in to begin with. He might tell you to confess a sin that you don't want to confess. He might just tell you to make a confession of something that'll break your heart. See, God has this way, and I don't know whether you've known it yet, but he does often ask you to do things outside the comfort zone. Preaching is that way. Sometimes when I preach, God asks me to preach things outside the comfort zone, like the message this morning. See, I realize a lot of you don't think God actually speaks, and it's an uncomfortable subject. And sometimes God does this thing to me. He just changes everything at the last minute. I can't stand that. I've told you before, 99% of the time, what happens is God gives me a message during the week, and all week long, he helps me develop a sermon to convey the message. Do you know the difference? The message can be a single thought, a single idea. The sermon is the vehicle that gets it across. But every once in a while, God will just give me a message and not give me a sermon, and that is a nervous problem. And there are a few occasions, not often, but a few occasions when I literally will stand up without knowing what I'm going to say. And the most nerve-wracking occasions is when he's given me a message and a sermon all week long, and then on Sunday morning, he gives me something else. I want to say, "Lord, you've forgotten we already have our sermon." Roger Barrier wrote a book some time ago entitled Listening to God. He told of an occasion like this. He said one Saturday night, he was preparing, putting the last finishing touches on his sermon for Sunday morning, when all of a sudden this thought came into his head. He heard a voice. And the inner voice said, "Roger, I don't want you to preach your sermon tomorrow morning. Instead, I want you to stand up to the microphone and say to the people, it is impossible to be content with your sin and really be a Christian. And then I want you to turn and walk away." When he first heard that voice or had that thought, he said to himself, "That's weird." 10 minutes later, the same idea came to him again, the same word. "Roger, I don't want you to preach a sermon tomorrow. I want you to say to the people, it's impossible to be content in your sin and really be a Christian. Then I want you to turn and walk away." Roger said he left his study, went into the dining room to have dinner with his wife. He told his wife what he thought God was saying, and she said, "You can't do that. They'll think you're crazy. You could lose your job over that." She said, "You're not really going to do that, are you?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that." But he tossed and turned all night long. And then the next morning, Sunday morning, he got up determined to preach a sermon. He got to the church, and when he got there, he was getting ready to preach, and just before he came out into the sanctuary, there was that inner voice. "Roger, I don't want you to preach a sermon today. I want you to get up to the microphone and I want you to say, it is impossible to be content in your sin and really be a Christian and then turn and walk away." And Roger said, "Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. I'm going to preach my sermon." And so he went in, the music played. They came to that point in the service when the music had ended and it was time for the sermon. Roger Berea got up to the pulpit, opened his Bible, took out his sermon notes, leaned into the microphone and said, "It is impossible to be content in your sin and really be a Christian." Put his notes back in his Bible, closed it, turned, walked away. The minister of music said, "Roger, where are you going?" But he walked off the platform, out the door, back to his study, locked the door behind him, fell on his knees and said, "Dear God, what did you just make me do?" In the sanctuary, pandemonium broke out. People didn't know what was happening. Someone said, "Did the pastor just resign?" Someone else said, "I think he had a nervous breakdown." And then to make matters worse, that was the first of three morning services, and he came back the other two times and said the same thing. Now, I know what you guys are waiting on. You're waiting on the punchline, aren't you? You're waiting for me to tell you that because of that one-sentence sermon, the church was turned on its ear. Hundreds repented of their sin. Thousands came to Christ, but it didn't happen. In fact, Roger said that probably the only comment he got from it was just one letter, and probably no one wanted to talk to him about it because of their embarrassment, and no one mentioned it to him. And then he said this. He said, "As far as I can tell, it didn't do one bit of good for that church. But oh," he said, "what it did for me. What it did for me." Do you think that God might ask you to do something outside your comfort zone? Absolutely. Now that brings us to this question, and then with it we're through. Why would you want to hear God speak if God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone? Well, I hope you understand this when I tell you. It is because it only when you get outside the comfort zone are you really going to know what it means to live the Christian life. You, in fact, will never really experience what Jesus Christ is all about and who He is until you step outside the comfort zone. You'll never know what the Bible means when it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord," until you hear what God says and step outside the comfort zone. Man, you can't even be saved until you step outside the comfort zone. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know about all this. Confessing Christ, I want to be a Christian, but to admit that I need Christ, that's outside my comfort zone. To ask Jesus to be Lord and give up control of my life to Him, that's outside my comfort zone. To publicly confess before a crowd like this that I've asked Jesus to be Lord, that's outside my comfort zone." Until you step outside that comfort zone, you will never know what it means to know the Lord. Are you in the loop? Are you listening? Do you hear what you're listening to? Is it uncomfortable? Probably. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we keep listening for things that make us comfortable. The easy way, the easy step. Christianity by correspondence, or salvation in an instant without any confession at all. Sometimes we hear you speak and it's uncomfortable because you've told us to do something that doesn't fit the plan, our plan. No doubt there are people sitting here today who are uncomfortable. And yet they've heard you speak. Not just me, but you. Father, I pray that you would so convict, that it would be clear that the word comes from you. Would you give courage to people to step outside the comfort zone? For that man or woman who's never received Christ, uncomfortable with the idea, but desperately wanting a relationship with you, would you give them the courage to step outside the comfort zone and experience what grace is all about? For those who are here who are not members of this church, and you've been calling them, speaking to them, wanting them here, would you give them the courage to step outside the comfort zone and come to do that today? For those you've been wrestling with in their personal life, to a call to one thing or the other, God, give them the courage not only to listen and hear, but to respond and step outside the comfort zone. May they surrender today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your voice. May we hear it clearly. As Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." May we follow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.